So, is a crap artist somebody who can bend their anus into like Play-Doh mold shapes?
Geek Dudes Radio!
Centipede was my joint.
What was Biafra's first name in that movie? What's the jello?
All the stoners are giggling at it.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
What's up, nerds? Thank you very much for joining us for another exciting, riveting, confusing episode of Geek Juice Radio. Tonight, we are a bare-bones skeleton crew. Dustin Kidd, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, is wasted off his ass somewhere up in Canada. He actually sent Jowski a slurred text message saying that he can't appear on the show tonight.
And then said, "You got it, dude."
Yeah. So I guess in Canada, that's what you do when you're drunk. You text Full House catchphrases to your friends. And Josh Hadley, I'm not sure what he's doing tonight, but it's probably infinitely more important than this. So we have got me, Charlie McMullen. We have got Alex Jowski.
I'm here.
And Stop. Kevin Daly.
I'm not nearly drunk enough to do this show.
Apparently not. It's a requirement that Dustin knew about and nobody else did.
There is a limit, though. You can be like Dustin and too drunk.
Yeah. When you're too drunk to podcast, that's when you really got to sit down and just take stock of your life.
I mean, because you got to be usually, typically, we're a little drunk to podcast. I mean.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've ever done one of these shows completely sober. Well, I mean, you know, you're not drinking, but that doesn't make you sober. I mean, for me, sometimes it's peyote. Sometimes it's horse tranquilizers, mescaline, what have you.
Yeah, I could hear you rattling that pill bottle there, Charlie.
That actually wasn't even me. Unless I'm doing it with my mind. Kevin, was that you?
It could be. I was in the midst of getting, caramel out of a bag of caramel.
That's what it was.
I think, we need
to
talk
about... The pills were more interesting, but...
we need to talk about Kevin. Yes, 7 months later.
You know what, Charlie? I got enough of that from Jowski.
Hey, it's actually a good movie, though.
7 months later, and I did it again. One thing that Jowski brought up that we wanted to talk about tonight was product placements in media, TV, movies. When does it work favorably, and when does it not work favorably? I would like to kick this off with my product placement Hall of Fame consideration is the Baby Ruth candy bar. I can think of three horror movies that it figures prominently into the story. Goonies clearly is the best one. But there is also Hellboy.
Oh yeah. Yes.
That is how Dr. Broom gets Hellboy off the ledge. And Bubba Hotep.
I need to watch Bubba Hotep again, obviously.
Remember the scene.
I don't remember.
The scene is when Elvis and JFK are in JFK's room and they're just like conspiring against the mummy, and JFK says, "Well, you know what, let's bond," and he pulls out this whole drawer in his desk full of stuff that you're not supposed to have in the nursing home, and Baby Ruth is what Elvis chooses.
That sentence just sounds fun. Elvis and JFK are plotting against the mummy.
They're conspiring against the mummy. Maybe the best sentence I've ever said.
I know Kevin and I were discussing Reese's Pieces.
Yeah, from E.T., obviously.
Yep.
That movie had to have sold a lot of candy.
M&M passed up the offer, so they went to Reese's.
M&M, you goddamn morons.
But of course there was the equivalent of Mac and Me, which isn't even a movie as much as a commercial.
It's a very long commercial.
Yes. There's people dancing in the McDonald's parking lot, and McDonald's is a happening place. And then there's a scene actually where an alien gets sick and they cure it by giving it Coca-Cola Classic.
Big dance number involving McDonald's.
It's funny you should mention McDonald's, because when Jowski brought up product placement, one that has always bothered me, it's in a horrible movie to begin with, but the omnipresence of McDonald's makes it even worse. It's a movie called Bye Bye Love.
I'm not familiar with that one.
It is one of the worst, most shallow. See, I was trying to say shallow and vapid at the same time, and that's what happened.
You better do your work.
Yeah, I did. It's a shallow movie. it's the most yuppie laden take on divorce that has ever been in a movie. Even the cast is just like a parade of excessive whiteness. You got like Paul Reiser, Randy Quaid, Matthew Modine.
Yeah, which Quaid is it?
Yeah, that's the Quaid. And I'm sure Randy doesn't talk about that movie anymore. But no, McDonald's figures heavily into the plot. It's where divorced couples drop off their kids to and from each other. And there's like a bunch of stupid stories happening at once, and one of them is actually a McDonald's employee, so they're shooting in the back kitchen area as well. Just a horrible movie made even worse with product placement. The same could be said of I Am Sam, by the way. Have you ever noticed the amount of product placement in that movie?
No, I haven't, really.
He talks about IHOP, how like IHOP, like corn muffins or whatever, are the only thing that would sell down the baby, and then he goes to Target, and the Target logo just keeps popping up at every possible moment.
Now here's a product placement that let's you guys decide if it worked or not. Castaway.
Wilson.
There's Wilson FedEx. And FedEx.
I honestly, I don't think I'm more likely to want to use FedEx after it. I am now aware that there are, in fact, Wilson volleyballs.
I was going to say, like, if it's product placement, it does not reflect favorably upon FedEx.
Yeah, I mean, FedEx crashes their plane.
Because, like, just imagine if that was you shipping a volleyball to somebody for some reason.
Yeah.
They never would have got that volleyball. I think maybe not a prequel, but maybe a spinoff movie should be made just about the guy who was expecting to receive a volleyball in the mail and never got it.
Now, if I said what's the best product placement in a movie for Twinkies?
Ghostbusters.
Oh, is that in Ghostbusters? Wow.
Yeah. Remember when?
Oh, that's a big Twinkie.
Yeah, Egon compares the capacity of the reactor to a Twinkie.
I was gonna go with Zombieland.
Yeah, that was a good one. Actually, Zombieland is an interesting case because they're clearly pro Twinkie in their stance, and then when snowballs come up, Woody Harrelson was careful not to bash snowballs, just make it clear that he prefers Twinkies. It's like, I don't like coconut. It's not the taste, it's the consistency.
You also have a movie whose product placement is in the title.
Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
That's exactly what I was going
with. I was not even thinking about that, but yes. And White Castle is portrayed very favorably in this movie.
And rightfully so.
I've never been to a White Castle, because I've never been... Honestly, Pueblo is as far east as I've ever been, so...
White Castle is wonderful. When I used to live in Denver, I went to White Castle often.
They have a White Castle in Denver?
I don't know if they still do. They did in 2002 when I lived there. When I lived in Nashville, they have, like, the poor man's knockoff White Castle. It's called Crystal. Kristal. Like, it's spelled like a rapper who is trying to name himself after the champagne.
Crystal.
Yeah.
Now, product placement can sometimes be subtle and you don't even notice it. And then sometimes it's shockingly obvious, like Happy Gilmore and Subway.
See, it's been a long time since I've seen Happy Gilmore, so I don't remember the Subway stuff.
There's scenes where he's sitting in a Subway going, I love Subway sandwiches.
Yeah, I was going to say, that is not subtle at all. He was just like in the middle of a conversation, they were at Subway, he goes, the only thing that keeps me going is this cold cut combo.
And then you have Risky Business selling Ray-Bans.
Tom Cruise in Top Gun was
also... I was
going to
say, Top Gun.
I don't know. I guess Tom Cruise just made like an overall deal with Ray-Ban. He's like, this is going to go down from now on.
James Bond's movies, the Aston Martins and the BMW and some of the early Pierce Brosnan ones.
Let's mention Rolex, too, in James Bond movies, because that's what he wears.
Oh, is it? I never even noticed. We talked about the guns, the Walter PPK.
And and how, like, the Call of Duty video games are themselves military recruitment commercials.
So, like,
I was telling you that the
U.S. Armed Forces?
Yeah.
Just like that Acts of Valor movie months back?
Yes, that movie.
That was very much a recruitment film. Product placements for cars were a big deal for a very short time, right around when Pierce Brosnan was playing James Bond. I remember Tomorrow Never Dies was out pretty close to the same time as The Saint, and someone was marketing Val Kilmer's car from that movie.
You also have Tony Stark's garage in the Iron Man movies.
Aren't those mostly older cars, though?
Yes, but it still sells them.
Yeah, well, I mean, they don't make them anymore, though. It's not really... It's like, yeah, I'm going to go help advertise the used car market.
Well, I think you calling it a used car market is kind of marginalizing the concept. But yeah, you're right.
I honestly don't think that, like, a conglomerate of, like, classic car dealerships got together and, like, we should totally have Iron Man have all these classic cars in here and pay for the advertising. Somehow I don't think that happened.
Know what just came to mind? Because I watched it a few weeks ago. Wayne's World.
That one scene that mocks product placement yet engages very heavily in it.
Yes.
That was a funny scene where Garth is just like decked out head to toe in Reebok stuff. And even like the part with the Excedrin, it even switches to black and white with the yellow pills.
Yes.
That was pretty funny.
Or Back to the Future, where he asks for a Pepsi free.
Yeah.
No, you'll have to pay for it.
Oh, and Pepsi free doesn't exist anymore.
No, it does not. It's been replaced several times by Crystal Pepsi and Pepsi Max and Pepsi Next. God, wasn't Crystal Pepsi horrible?
Crystal Pepsi is disgusting, yes.
I barely remember.
Sorry, Brad Jones.
It tasted like RC Cola, and it looked like Purell, pretty much.
No, it didn't even taste... Because RC... I just drank a couple glass of RC Cola early today. I love RC Cola. It doesn't taste like RC Cola. Crystal Pepsi is just disgusting.
I remember drinking Crystal Pepsi out of a can and thinking, what's the point?
That's true. That is definitely true. Like, Crystal Pepsi in an opaque can. It's like the slogan might as well just be take our word for it. It didn't taste like Pepsi, though, I'll tell you that.
No, it didn't. I was not a fan. My parents would buy that. We'd have like 2-liter bottles of Crystal Pepsi just hanging around the fridge. And it's like, this tastes like shit. Why did we buy this?
And then there's a movie I saw as a kid only for the product placement. The Wizard.
Oh, yes.
The yeah, that whole movie was a Nintendo commercial, pretty much.
The Power Glove.
Yep, the Power Glove and the Super Mario Brothers sequel was that was the one game that no one had ever played before that they were unleashing on that Video Warmageddon conference.
Which was pretty crazy. I mean, when you think about it at the time, it's like, oh my god, a new Super Mario Brothers game announced like in a movie.
That's why I saw that movie.
Oh yeah, at the time, my friends completely lost their over that.
Well, back in the days of dial-up, you had a movie that was advertising AOL.
You got mail?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, they did actually use AOL on that, too, didn't they?
They did.
Its catchphrase was the title.
Well, yeah. I forgot, because, you know, You Got Mail is kind of generic. I mean, obviously, it was the sound it made when you logged on to AOL, but it always was kind of like a generic thing, too.
Well, it only made that sound if you had mail.
Oh, yeah. I remember how sad I was when I didn't have mail, too.
There were, like, really lonely people that would go see that movie and go, AOL does that?
One of my favorite uses of that sound was Scott Pilgrim versus the World. When he logs on, he's like, dude, this thing claims that I have mail. Now I'm reading the mail.
And it's boring.
Yeah. Didn't you read my email? I skimmed it.
And of course, has Kevin brought up iRobot.
Yeah, iRobot is pretty bad.
With
notoriously bad, with the Audi and whatever shoes he's wearing.
Converse All-Stars.
Yep, those were Chuck Taylor's.
In the same sense, the David Tennant era of Doctor Who sold me on getting a red pair of Chuck Taylor's.
Kevin Smith kind of pulled like a reverse product placement, which I admire. Like he would have the wardrobe before his movie is manufactured and then make like every piece of that wardrobe available to buy it from his website. He did very well. Like I think in one case it might have been Chasing Amy, the merchandising from his website during the time Chasing Amy was out, he got more money from that than the gross from the actual movie.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty cool. Like Jay and Silent Bob especially, pretty much every article of clothing you see in that movie you could have bought off his website at the time.
Then you do have a lot of product placement in video games. other than the fact that they're going to start airing commercials, rumor.
Oh my god, are you serious?
Yeah, like you have to be online, and you'll be playing a game, and all of a sudden it'll stop and show you a commercial for Mountain Dew or something.
See, I've never connected my Xbox to the internet. Now I'm justified in that.
Right?
Alright, and there was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game on the Nintendo.
The gigantic Pizza Hut billboards?
Yep.
Well, and didn't one of those games come with, like, a coupon for Pizza Hut?
Yes, it even came with a coupon for Pizza Hut.
My wife wants to bring up the fact that in the movie they were actually eating Domino's.
Yeah, in the movie. And in the TV show they were eating...
generic pizza?
Well, some madman pizza place where you could get, like, I want peanut butter and coconut.
That pizza on the TV show always looked really good to me, though.
Yeah, it did. A lot of cartoons are like that. Like, they will draw some really good-looking food. Like, Futurama is one of those. Like, I really wanted to try a poplar when I watched that episode.
Bachelor Chow? You down for some Bachelor Chow?
I would try it at least once.
So I've got a list here of the top 9 worst movie product placements.
I'm convinced that Bye Bye Love is in there somewhere. It really should be.
Number 9 is actually Surf Ninjas.
Oh, with the Game Gear, right?
Yes, with the
Game Gear. Yep,
wow, I don't know how you remember that. I saw that movie in theaters for my birthday when I was a kid, and I still don't remember it. I liked it at the time.
I saw that movie only because Leslie Nielsen was in it.
Now, I'm going to give you the product that's heavily endorsed, and you tell me the movie. Popeyes.
Little Nicky.
Yep.
Oh, I love Popeyes. I didn't know Little Nicky advertised it so heavily, though. I never saw... Okay, to be fair, I don't like Adam Sandler very much. I didn't see Little Nicky.
I'm not a huge Adam Sandler fan either, but Little Nicky I love. I mean, like... Because Quentin Tarantino has a cameo as a blind preacher.
And Harvey Keitel plays his dad.
Yep, Harvey Keitel plays the devil, who at one point says, I don't like that language, when one of his sons says, I just thought that was very funny coming from Satan. And from
Harvey Keitel, for that matter.
Yeah. And Rodney Dangerfield played the devil's father. The original devil.
Number 7. The product is Head & Shoulders Shampoo.
Oh, I know.
What is it?
Evolution.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I have not seen that movie either. Man, I don't see any of these movies.
That was actually a pretty smart way they did that, too. Because, like, the aliens were, like, multiplying all over the world, and someone figures out that the chemical, I think it's selenium, like, kills the aliens, like, vaporizes them immediately. So someone, like, some, like, incidental character knew that selenium was an ingredient in Head & Shoulders, so they just filled up a fire truck with Head & Shoulders and sprayed everything.
All right, number 6. The product is Taco Bell.
Hmm. I'm trying to think of specific Taco Bell.
Now all restaurants are Taco Bell? Sandra Bullock tells Sylvester Stallone?
Oh, Demolition Man.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I remember that now.
What about, then, just a slightly related topic, Carl's Jr. and Fuddruckers in Idiocracy?
Oh, yes.
what I like is I don't think Carl's cared. I think they were down with that image.
Yeah, I think they were cool with it. Like, and it was not complimentary. Like, that vending machine, it's like, try Carl's Jr.'s big-ass taco.
Carl's Jr., F you, I'm eating.
Right.
And Tarleton cigarettes. If you don't smoke Tarleton's, then F you.
Starbucks is now a full Boston on it. Starbucks is one of those companies you'd think would actually have a huge problem with that particular type of advertising. But apparently, either the parody was enough to keep them out of trouble, or they didn't care.
Well, they're like, yeah, sure, let people who don't drink coffee come here looking for a hand job.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know how Mike Judge got away with that. That was insane.
Number 5 is actually the movie The Thomas Crown Affair.
Okay, I know that's a Pierce Brosnan movie, but I've not seen it.
Yeah, well, it's all about Rene Russo drinking Pepsi One, apparently.
Merlot and Sideways?
Not drinking any more Merlot.
Incidentally, my dad started drinking Merlot after seeing that movie.
I bet a ton of people got into wine for like 3 weeks after they saw that movie.
And they became like wine bandwagon fans.
Yep. I'm happy to say that never worked on me. Didn't drink wine then, still don't drink it now.
Number 4. The product is the Macintosh PowerBook.
Macintosh PowerBook. Girl with a dragon tattoo.
No. This is Macintosh PowerBook is used to stop an alien invasion.
Independence Day.
Yep.
Which, for believability, it hinged on the assumption that the aliens also used Windows 96.
Yes. Number 3, we have already mentioned, E.T.
Yep. Reese's Pieces, that movie is like, as far as success goes from a product placement, I can't imagine anyone did better than E.T.
All right. Apparently, number 2 is a movie you can play a drinking game with.
That's most movies for me, including Schindler's List.
Twilight?
No, this one, if you take a shot every time there's an advertisement for a product, you will deliver. That's Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh, yeah?
Staggering over 70 products get looked at in that movie.
I never actually saw that movie.
I remember the show. Number 1 is one we've already mentioned, Mac and Me.
Well, yeah. I mean,
in fact, the title character is named after McDonald's.
So there is
no. Seriously, though, every time you bring up Mac and Me, I want some crack nuggets. So, and I don't mean actual crack nuggets. I mean McDonald's chicken McNuggets, which I'm pretty sure they actually fill with crack.
I'm eating McDonald's chicken McNuggets right now, and I think you're right. I can definitely taste the
to
crack.
To avoid getting sued, I'm not actually serious, but I'm kind of serious. It feels like that sometimes.
All right.
I'm not sure what they put in them to make them so addicting, though.
It's not just chicken is all I'm saying.
And since we have already gotten into the top 10 list, let's finish out tonight's show with a few rounds of the top 10 list game.
Why the hell not?
First list is 10 movies you did not know were based on Shakespeare plays.
Okay, so we will need to pick a movie that we think might be based on a Shakespeare play, but not... No, actually, I know of one that might be on this list. I'm going to say 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah, that's one not many people know.
That is based on Taming of the Shrew.
Yes, I knew that one. Can I go Lion King with Hamlet? Because it really feels like the same story.
Yes, I'm going to go with She's the Man from Twelfth Night.
Oh, it's yeah, which I actually liked that movie.
Well, I hated it.
Really?
Yes.
That was kind of funny. Not like a man... Look, oh, it's the all that thing, isn't it? You just hate all that. So anybody involved in all that, you automatically hate the movie.
It could be. It could also be that it's a shitty movie.
It could be that, but not likely.
All right, number 10 is The Lion King.
Oh, nice.
On the board.
Number 9 is 10 Things I Hate About You.
There we go. Could not have been closer.
Number 8, The Bad Sleep Well, an Akira Kurosawa film based upon Hamlet.
Oh, another Hamlet.
It's in a corporate setting. Number 7 is She's the Man.
So you're saying that was based on Twelfth Night?
Yes.
I would never have put that together in a million years.
Yeah, you would have thought, oh, it's just a gender-reversed Ladybugs, but no, it's Shakespeare.
I knew that it was Shakespeare before I saw it, which I think is the reason I saw it.
Yeah.
I hope that's the reason you saw it, because that's the only semi-respectable reason to see it.
Number 6 is Get Over It.
Okay, what's that one about, and...
I'm not familiar with the movie, but apparently it's based on A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay, well, I find A Midsummer Night's Dream largely unwatchable or readable, so I'm glad I avoided that one.
You didn't like the Kevin Kline?
I didn't see it. Honestly, I read the Shakespeare play, and I don't like it, so I avoid anything that's based off of it.
No, I read the play, too. Did not like it at all. But I saw the movie. I think it was out, like, 98, 99.
The one with Calista Flockhart?
Yes. Because, like, Ally McBeal was really big at the time, so it was...
Calista Flockhart is kind of elven. Kind of fey.
Well, Stanley
Tucci played Puck.
Okay, that might be worth watching.
It was pretty cool.
Number 5, My Own Private Idaho. It's apparently based off of Henry IV.
Okay.
I will take your word for that. I don't see that at all, but... I don't know, I've only seen My Own Private Idaho once, and I've never read Henry IV, so I will take that on good faith.
Oh. I, of course, can only think of the song when you mention that.
Henry VIII, I am?
No. My Own Private Idaho, the B-52.
You're living in your own private Idaho.
Ah, yes.
That one, yes.
The Thinking Man's Rock Lobster.
All right,
it is actually my favorite B-52 song. So.
Number 4 is Deliver Us from Ava, based upon Taming of the Shrew.
That was an awful movie, by the way.
I'm perhaps happy I did not see that one.
Number three is one I so should have guessed. Forbidden Planet. It's
really?
Based off The Tempest.
Oh, okay.
I
heard
The
Tempest is a seventh grader, so I don't remember much about it.
Also based off of The Tempest is number two, Pocahontas.
Huh.
Okay, so I don't see that at all.
Rip off all the Shakespeare.
Yeah, why should it only be fables? Just rip off it. Rip off everything.
And number one on the 10 movies you didn't know were based off of Shakespeare, Strange Brew. Based off of Hamlet.
That movie.
Yeah, that was dumbfounded silence. And you say it's based off of Hamlet.
Yes. It's got all of the elements mixed throughout the film. Involves a brewery owner who is murdered by his brother. The brother turns around and marries his sister-in-law, who, in case of gender reversal, has a daughter who speaks to the spirit of her dead father when he zaps out of a malfunctioning video game. And did we mention that the name of the brewery is Elsinore?
Ah, okay.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I give that up. I did not piece that together until just now.
Now we've got the top 10 animated television cartoon tearjerkers.
Okay. Now, just for the sake of fairness, Jowski, have you reviewed these lists?
No. I know number 10 on this list because it's staring at me, but I don't think any of us would guess number 10.
Okay. Okay, so who won that one? You did, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, okay.
And we were all on the list for once.
Yeah, that hardly ever happens.
Yeah.
So, good for us.
All right, so your guess for number 10, I mean, the 10 animated television cartoon tearjerkers.
Well, actually, you place highest, Jowski. You get to guess first.
I'm going to go with that bank vault episode of Family Guy.
Good one. That is my favorite episode of Family Guy.
That is one of the best episodes, yes.
My guess is Jurassic Park, Futurama.
All right.
That would have been my choice, so I'll go with Luck of the Fryish, just because that's the other one of those episodes that makes me cry like a little baby.
Alright, number 10 is an episode of the Little Mermaid television series called Metal Fish.
Huh. I'm guessing that is not as cool as it sounds.
No, it's about a submarine, and then they send the submarine back, and Ariel has a tear-filled, "Goodbye, Metal Fish!"
Okay. I'm just going to let that go.
Yeah.
Number 9 is Luck of the Fryrish.
Ah.
That was a good episode. Like, maybe I never had a brother, so maybe it didn't really hit me as hard as it could have, but that is a good episode.
That is a good episode, yes. Number 8 is Hey Arnold, Married.
Well, I hated that show, so...
I think I know what episode that is.
Is it the one where he gets married?
I don't think that's exactly what happens. I saw it a really long time ago, and I just remember seeing an episode of Hey Arnold and thinking, man, that was pretty heavy.
Huh. Alright.
Alright, number 7 is Thundercats, Return to Thundera.
Okay, I'll be honest and say I did not watch a whole lot of Thundercats, even though it was probably about the sort of thing I should have watched given my age, but did not really hit that.
Right. Yeah, Thundercats was aimed right at me, but I actually didn't watch a whole lot back in the day either.
Number 6 is Family Guy, Brian Wallows and Peter Swallows. The name of the episode.
I've seen that one, but is that the one with the how to describe it? He has the bird.
Yeah, but okay. That's not the tear jerking part. The tear jerking part is Brian dating the old lady.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, I get it. Yes, that one is kind of a bit of a downer.
Wait, no, not where he's dating the old lady. That's a different one. No, this is the one he meets an old woman named Pearl who, because he's doing community service helping old people.
Yeah, okay. He gets her killed by, like, getting her to go outside.
But she says it was the best day of her life.
Yeah.
I remember she asked him to pull the plug, and then he was going to. She's like, what the hell?
That was a different episode.
What? Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
Similar context.
Yeah.
Number 5 is The Simpsons and Maggie Makes 3.
I remember that very distinctly. That was a good one.
Yeah.
I'm sure I've seen it. I don't, refresh my memory.
This one, Marge having Maggie unexpectedly forces Homer to go back to the nuclear plant because he was only working there until he got out of debt. Then he got out of debt so he could go to his lower paying dream job, which was working at the bowling alley.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that one.
And because the explanation was why are there no pictures of Maggie at the house? It is because Homer keeps them all at work to remind himself why he's there.
Yep, because he when he first went there, he put up a sign that says, "Don't forget, you're here forever." But then eventually right. that sign got covered up with pictures of him and Maggie.
And then and it left the letter showing, so it spells out, "Do it for her."
Yep.
I do remember that one. That one is a that is a tough. That's definitely a little bit.
Yeah, that even gets me teary-eyed thinking about it.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's kind of a.
Number four is G.I. Joe. There's no place like Springfield, parts 1 and 2. Huh. Can't say I'm familiar with it. G.I.
Joe. Sure, I've seen it because I was a diehard G.I. Joe fan when I was a kid. But
I don't think I've seen that. I mean, that's the perfect title for G.I. Joe Simpsons crossover.
Yeah. Right? Number three is Gargoyles: The Mirror.
I never saw Gargoyles, but like every one of my friends did, and I've heard that it does get pretty emotional sometimes.
Yeah, I would not doubt it. Gargoyles is one of those shows that really has kind of a pretty powerful series in general for animation. That era of cartoons was so good. That mid-90s, you know, the Batman animated series sort of era was so good.
It was.
Did not talk down to its audience. It was very serious. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, something definitely happened. Don't know
something
what it
happened.
Is.
Something happened. But then you ended up with things like Dora.
Oh, God.
Number two is Speed Racer, The Trick Race. I can see why it's on the list, but I would debate it.
I haven't seen that episode.
All right, it's the episode where Speed Racer finds out that Racer X is his brother.
Oh,
yeah, Rex Racer.
You mean the reveal that happens like 5 minutes into the movie?
The reveal in the TV show is Speed Racer asks Racer X, "If are you my brother, Rex?" And Racer X responds by punching Speed in the gut. Speed falls down and Racer X throws down his mask, and Speed comes to and realizes he was my brother all along.
So what was that about the movie? I never saw the movie. Do they reveal that right away?
Yeah, that thing that looks like the Wachowski brothers humping crayons.
Yes.
Good God, that movie was so bright.
With John Goodman and Susan Sarandon walking around saying, "What are we doing here?"
retina destroying. I mean,
yeah. If you're epileptic, then you yourself right away.
I'm not gonna lie, I couldn't see correctly until the next day. It had, I'm pretty sure it did permanent damage to my vision.
Number one is actually A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Okay, no, screw that. No, sorry. As an agnostic who resents the amount of money that Charles Schulz made, I would debate that.
No, because the television producer's like, "You can't read the Bible on television," and Schulz is like, "I'm doing it."
Yeah, I mean, my hat goes off to him for having the resolve to do it anyway, but Charlie Brown.
And an honorable mention was Jurassic Bark.
Honorable mention?
Yes, was Jurassic Bark.
Oh, I don't agree with that. That's the saddest episode of anything ever.
Oh my God, the song they play during the
yeah, end, good. It's gonna make me cry right now, Charlie.
Actually,
you should have won that one.
But
yeah, I should have. I legitimately cried the first time I saw it. Maybe even the second time that I saw it.
So technically, though, Kevin wins.
Yes, technically, I get off on a technicality.
Yeah. I know you do.
So, all right, we're going to go with the top 10 odd covers of geeky songs.
I'd be all for that.
I think I'm going to lose this one.
I don't even know what to guess.
I got my one of my favorites, which is like being in the process of being released right now. It might be too recent to be on this list.
What is it?
It is Flogging Molly's cover of The Times They Are Changing by Bob Dylan.
Oh.
It's awesome.
I'm going to go with Lemon Demon's cover of Bicycle Race. That's all 8-bit sounds.
Okay, well, I'm going to change my answer then, because I'm thinking that the Foggy Molly one might be too recent to be on there, so I'm going to go with Real Big Fish's cover of Take On Me.
Oh, well, I'll go with Real Big Fish, but I'll go with There Ain't Nothing Like a Dame.
Oh.
Nice one.
All right, number 10, the song is Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Uh-huh. Is it Suburban Legends?
It doesn't say who. It just says just two guys.
Oh, that's not Suburban Legends. I've heard them cover all sorts of Disney stuff.
Mixing chunky power chords with opera-quality vocals.
I think we're going to lose this one pretty bad.
Number 9 is My Heart Will Go On, a power metal cover of it.
By random YouTube guys again?
Probably random YouTube guys again.
That is a very popular band. I love those guys.
I'm totally naming my next band that.
Random YouTube guys.
Yeah.
Number 8 is the Jurassic Park theme. This cover artist has a name, though.
Oh.
Swedish DJ legend Bass Hunter.
Oh, I've heard of Bass.
Okay, if you ever say Swedish DJ legend to me again, I'm not going to listen to what you say next. I'm telling you right now.
Number 7 is Battle with Lance from the Pokemon game, covered by Burn 7.
Can I change my answer to Mega Man 2 from the mini-bosses, if it's going to be a list like this?
Yeah, this is weird. To Xanarkand from Final Fantasy X.
Yeah, Final Fantasy X.
Yep.
And of course, the music from Final Fantasy X is completely forgettable.
Covered by Guitar Hero.
What?
That should not count at all.
There was a Guitar Hero cover?
Yes.
Everything is a Guitar Hero cover. That shouldn't count.
Okay, right? There's Guile's theme.
Okay, great song.
Covered by YouTube Guy.
Okay, good.
All right, here's one by a band we actually have heard of. The song is The Animaniacs.
Mm-hmm.
Covered by Less Than Jake.
Oh, okay.
I think I've heard that. It's not bad.
1,000 Miles. You know, the I Would Walk 500.
Yes, the Proclaimers.
Yes.
Very popular drinking song. I used to sing that all the time at karaoke.
As covered by the Proclaimers?
No, it was covered by YouTube guys.
I think I've heard that version. Like, there was a line, like, because in the Scottish song, there's a line that says, if I haver, then I know I'm gonna be the one that's havering to you, which is a Scottish word for vomit. And I think in the cover, there was, if I haver, whatever the f*** haver means! I believe I remember this.
There's My Horse is Amazing.
Someone did a cover of this?
A metal cover.
Is it now?
Yep. By, I'm assuming, YouTube people. And number 1 is Bed Intruder, which wasn't even a song.
That list sucked.
That list was awful.
Bed Intruder. Oh, was that, like, auto-tuning the news
thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hide your kids, hide your wife, yeah.
Yeah.
They're raping everybody out there, or her goes.
That was a terrible list.
So somebody did a non-cover of a non-song.
Yeah, exactly.
Fascinating.
Precisely what happened there.
It just fills me full of patriotic glee.
Right?
All right, top 10 movies based on stories by Philip K. Dick.
Okay.
Okay.
Because we all know that Philip K. Dick is an awesome writer.
He's the best. I would wish I could have had his babies.
Yep.
Though our our friend is not a fan.
Yeah, this list is dedicated to you.
It, no matter how many times I try to argue otherwise.
If I get first guess, I'm going Blade Runner.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Well, then what are you going with, Kevin?
Well, I actually liked A Scanner Darkly better, so I'm going to go with that. Even though it won't win, I'm voting my soul.
No, A Scanner Darkly was an awesome movie, though.
No. I'm looking at number 10 here, and if number 10 can be what it is, A Scanner Darkly should be way up on this list. But I'm going with Total Recall.
Okay.
Number 10 is Next.
Ooh.
What?
Ooh.
Based off the Philip K. Dick
yes,
story.
Yes, I mean, I know
the
that's a Philip K. Dick story, but...
Number 9 is Paycheck.
Ugh!
Oh, no, the Ben Affleck movie?
Yeah.
Yes. Ah, crap.
Oh, yes, the Ben Affleck movie.
Yeah. Yes, he was the bomb in Phantoms, but no, not Paycheck.
Number 8 is Radio Free Albemuth.
I will claim ignorance on this one.
Well, that's the name of the Philip K. Dick book.
Okay, what's the movie?
That's also the name of the movie starring Alanis Morissette and was released in 2010. It's currently awaiting distribution, though.
Then how is it?
Yeah, how is it on this list?
That is not fair.
All right, number 7.
Some hipster wrote this. He's like the only person on the planet who's seen the f***ing thing.
Maybe the director of that movie posted this list.
Yeah, in fact, it gets more hipster with number 7. Confessions d'un Barjo is a French movie based off Philip K. Dick's only non-science fiction novel, Confessions of a Crap Artist.
Confessions of a Crap Artist?
Yes.
So is a crap artist somebody who can bend their anus into, like, Play-Doh mold shapes?
Yes.
I would respect that. That takes talent.
Man, I gotta start working on that right away.
Number six.
That seems like an art form I need to perfect.
And you'll be popular in France. Number six is the Adjustment Bureau.
Yeah, I knew that was based on the Philip K. Dick story. I didn't see it, though. It looked interesting when I saw the trailer, and then never got around to seeing it.
It was a good movie. I liked it a lot.
Number five is Screamers.
Haven't seen that one.
Also a good movie.
Based off of Second Variety. It's good. Number four is Scanner Darkly.
Nice.
Which is a great
book. Like I said, my personal favorite.
Yep. Number three, Minority Report.
Horrible movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, so.
No, it's bad.
I like the book, especially how it's published. Like a report. It's top bound. You flip through it like you would a legal pad.
That's
like,
pretty cool.
The Futurama episode spoofing Minority Report was way more smartly written than the actual movie.
Number two is Total Recall.
That's good.
That was
your answer.
Good news for Charlie, who...
Yep, and number one, Blade Runner.
There we go.
Yeah, I mean... And you can't argue with it. It's an excellent movie.
Yeah, and like I can only say this about a handful of movies, but it I enjoy it the same way I did when I was a kid the first time I saw it, because I just saw it on Sci-Fi Channel, I think night before last.
Now here's a list that we will all have something on this list, because there's only 10 items.
Fantastic. I like these odds.
The 10 best Star Trek films. There's 10 films, so...
Okay, so we have to determine which one is gauged as number one.
Yep.
Well, I think I know the answer to this one, unless the list is bizarre.
Which it might be. That last one was pretty bizarre.
Bizarre is that one about the songs.
Random YouTube guys. We should start a band called that.
Yeah.
Actually, there's 11 Star Trek films, if you include the new one.
So one movie is not on the list.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, if I had to pick a favorite, it would be Star Trek III: Search for Spock.
All right. That's an interesting choice. A lot of people hate Search for Spock.
I really liked it.
I like it. Christopher Lloyd does a good job in it.
Yeah. I mean, and he's a huge part of why I like it so much.
Kevin, your pick.
Well, I'm going to go... I'm going to go for the win and take Wrath of Khan.
All right.
Kevin!
Though, my favorite is the new one.
Yeah, that's the one I was going to go with, was the new one.
The Chris Pine as Captain Kirk?
Yeah.
The alternate reality Star Trek?
Yeah.
Number 10.
Yeah, as far as, like, updates and reimaginings go, that was pretty damn good.
I just like that he knew that he was if he didn't do it this way, he was going to piss off, like, hardcore fans.
Yeah, this way...
So he decided to go, this is basically alternate reality.
He could reboot the series and not retcon a thing.
Yep. And they can exist side by side.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, from Abrams' point of view, you can't get a better Jiminy Cricket than Star Trek fans looking over your shoulder to make sure you do it right.
So, I thought that was excellent.
Yeah.
Number 10, Star Trek Nemesis.
I like Nemesis.
I liked Nemesis.
I don't know. But we realize that being at number 10 on this list means it's the second worst, apparently.
Yes, worse than the one that's not on the list.
Well, not worse than the one. It's
I mean, not as bad.
Yeah, it's the only one that's not better is the one that's not on the list.
Number 9, Star Trek The Motion Picture.
The first one.
Yep.
Yeah,
was
that
not bad.
That movie could have been 45 minutes.
It could have been.
That movie, it's just, it is padding forever. Number 8, Generations. Which I liked.
I enjoyed the sequence of Data getting the emotions.
Number 7 is one we watched the other day, Kevin.
It's that medieval Insurrection. That's
yes.
Which, again, I like because I like the sort of random Ren Faire sort of feel to it.
Yes.
A Ren Faire feel to a Star Trek movie?
Yeah.
Well, have you not seen Insurrection?
No, I never saw that one.
They land on this planet that that's like choosing to live archaically, and they're getting attacked by like spaceships. They have these dudes, you have these like families running around in like medieval peasants' outfits. Meanwhile, the Star Trek crew doesn't quite understand what's going on, and so they're wearing like 20s gangster garb.
That sounds like a good time. I want to see this now.
It's a fun movie.
Number 6 is Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country.
That's not the whale one, is it?
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
No. Number 5 was the whale one.
Which one is the one they fight God? I honestly can't remember.
That's 5.
Okay. That one's probably the one that's not on the
screen. Yeah. Star Trek VI is the one that, it's like a mystery. That they're doing a peace conference with the Klingons. And then one of the Klingons is killed, and it's all like a frame job against Kirk and them.
I remember that one.
Number 5 is The Search for Spock.
Okay. Right in the middle.
Number 4 is the whale one.
Oh.
The Voyage Home.
Okay, that's better than The Search for Spock. Screw
yeah,
that.
I was going to say.
I hate The Voyage Home. I mean, a lot of people say it's a great film, but I mean, it's a Greenpeace message disguised as a Star Trek movie.
It pretty much is.
Don't kill the humpback whales or the aliens will invade. Number 3 is the Star Trek J.J. Abrams one.
That's okay. Number 3.
That's fair.
Number 2 is First Contact.
First Contact's good.
Yeah, First
Contact. It was actually the first one I saw in the theater.
Second one I saw in the theater. So number 1 is Khan.
Well, I like I said, I went for the win on that one. Not my favorite Star Trek movie.
And you even guessed the one that was left off the list.
5.
Yep.
When you're fighting God,
you're not gonna. Yeah.
And we're not talking. We're not talking. Some anime like Neon Genesis Evangelion or some Japanese RPG based on anime, sort of like inspired by anime, like Xenogears. You really can't fight God.
Yeah, this is not like a George Burns God. This is actual God that they are fighting.
Here's a list.
They're shooting photons at God. I mean,
you're not going to win any popularity contest doing like that.
The top 10 movie moments of 2012 so far.
Let's take a moment to think. Let's see here. Movie moments.
Yeah, not necessarily the movies themselves. A moment in a movie.
Gotcha.
Ooh, I have not seen many movies this year. It's going to be tough for me. I'll give it a shot, though.
All right. I'm going to go with Liam Neeson punching a wolf.
What are the movies called?
The Gray.
The Gray, that's what it was.
All right. You guys got a guess?
Yes, I believe I do. I would say the first panoramic 360 shot of the team in the Avengers.
All right. And Kevin.
David Hasselhoff appearing in Piranha 3DD.
All right. Into the list. Number 10, the monster extravaganza in the cabin in the woods.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it's a
good one. Was going to say that, too. I didn't think that qualified as a moment. Because that whole sequence was, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a long moment, sir.
Number 9, the engineer awakens in Prometheus.
Yeah, I liked Prometheus, but...
Number 8, Earth's Mightiest Heroes Assemble in the Avengers.
There you go.
Yeah, I think there's...
That big panoramic shot, yep.
Yep.
Number 7 should not count. The ship splits in half in Titanic 3D.
That should...
98 movie, okay, thanks list.
Next is when the apes meet their the apes meet their match in John Carter.
Oh, I didn't see John Carter.
Nor did I.
Yeah, me neither. I was hoping one of you would have seen it, because I was going to ask you how it was.
I've heard it's good. Well, it's interesting, because the critics and kind of general people didn't like it, but the kind of nerds I follow on Twitter, like your D&D fantasy kind of nerds, loved it.
I was reading this interview in The Onion with Bryan Cranston, and they were asking him about John Carter. I didn't even know he was in it. But he went off on this rant that, edited down to be in the interview that I read, still went on for a full page, about how people shouldn't gauge how much a movie made by whether or not it's any good. And that kind of made me want to see the movie, just, inspired by that. Because Bryan Cranston is the shit. He is incredible.
All right, the next one. I've lost count. This list actually isn't numbered. Any fight scene in The Raid Redemption?
I've heard that's a fun movie. I did not see it.
I remember that from Trailer Park. I would have liked to have seen that.
And next is finding out that Tom Cruise can sing in Rock of Ages.
Okay, I saw Rock of Ages, and Tom Cruise actually can sing. as much as it pains me to admit it, because personally I cannot stand the guy, but he was pretty good in that. Paul Giamatti can sing. Did you know that?
That doesn't surprise me.
He played Tom Cruise's like manager in that movie, and he was pretty good at singing too.
I think this list peaked at the raid, though, because next is Channing Tatum stripping in Magic Mike.
So, gay guy or woman that wrote this? That's the question.
Or somebody who regrets seeing it in 3D.
Yep. Next on the list is Johnny Depp's cameo in 21 Jump Street.
Yeah, I did see that movie because Raven really wanted to see it. And that was very surprising.
And apparently, number one was actually Liam Neeson punching wolves.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Nice. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. This has been an odd episode. We talked about product placement. The only mention of Baby Ruth was my own. And we had the top 10 list game, which I know a lot of you don't like, but we do, and we're the ones talking.
That's a bit mean.
I know it's a bit mean. If you do enjoy the top 10 list, then thank you very much for hanging in. And if you didn't, then you probably didn't listen this far anyway. So join us again next week for Geek Juice Radio, and stay tuned for the projection booth. Thank you very much for listening.
Have a good night.